So we wanted to do a really fun song, and this one's for Pastor Al. They were really excited that they get to wear sombreros and the maracas. So if you know the words, sing along with us.
Good morning. We're the Pritt family. We'd like to welcome you to Gold Town Community Church this morning. And we're going to present the third Sunday of Advent candle, which is the pink candle, and it's the candle of joy. Through Jesus Christ, we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. We have his love, which is unconditional and unlike any other we have ever known. We can also have a boundless joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Most people will recognize the beginning of this popular Christmas song. Such a song can cheer our spirits, cause us to recall a Christmas past, or contemplate on the reason for the season. Yet, when the song is finished, we are quickly sobered back to reality of what is going on in our lives. But what if there was a kind of joy that could surpass this temporary experience? The Bible tells us that there is indeed a surpassingly great joy. There is the kind of joy that triumphs over the dreary facets of life and overcomes even the darkest night. It overwhelms feelings of doubt, it silences fearful thoughts, and bolsters our weaknesses. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah tells a grief-stricken crowd, "The joy of the Lord is your strength."
Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ can possess this kind of joy. It is a gift from God. Sometimes in the face of suffering, it is hard to see it, and we can easily grow frustrated. 1 Peter 4:13 tells us, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers with exceeding joy. Receive today the surpassingly great joy of Christ. For a day is coming soon when we will be overjoyed, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed." Let us pray. Lord, meet us in this complicated space where joy resides. Meet us in our grief for what has been lost and in our hope for what has come in Jesus Christ. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Whenever Jessica first asked me if I could do a song about joy, I started thinking in my head, I was like, I don't know if I know one, and I started looking a few things up, and I found this song, and I sent it to Jessica, and I was like, I don't know if this really goes. It's not really like a Christmas theme song, but it is about joy, and I sent it to her, and she said, I think it'll go right along with the reading, and I hadn't heard the reading till just now, and it's just, there's no explanation other than God that he put this together. Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, while there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. How you shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
sorrow comes my way, you are the shield around me. Always you remain my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name, Jesus, I am coming, walking on the waves, reaching for your light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my
strength. See anybody else coming up, so aren't you glad that we got a church that does a lot for kids? Look here. There's a lot of behind the scenes that goes on that let this happen, and we ought to be proud of that. I'll be proud of this crowd here this morning. Now, if you like that young kid singing, we got a youth service tonight, and the kids will be singing. Any of them that wants to sing or play an instrument, they'll be here tonight, some of them, so... With that, anybody else got anything? I don't know who's preaching. Aaron? Okay, mine says Rob, but they might switch. But usually look to see who's got the tie on, but they all got ties but Rob this morning. So, all right, Aaron, come on, bud.
Had the time. But on behalf of all of our pastors, we want to thank Trent for stepping in at the last minute. And he mentioned this morning, he said, I can't think of another time that, I don't know that there's been a time that one of us wasn't here. So it was just one of those days that we were all spread out. First of all, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. How many in here have the joy of the Lord in your heart?
Amen.
Can I see some smiles? Everybody's kind of quiet today. But I'm going to divide the congregation this morning. I think it's time that we split up. I'm going to ask, well, let's see. I'll ask this side over here. Who do you want to be? Want to be like Jesus? Okay. Which one of the Gospels do you want to be? Now, John don't count. You want to be Luke? Did I hear Luke? All right. So who do you all want to be? Huh? Matthew. All right, turn your Bibles over here to Matthew. Turn your Bibles over here to Luke. Now, I'm going to put this one on Greg. Greg, I want Luke on this side and Matthew on this side. Can't split the word, can you? All right, here's your first assignment. Hopefully everybody's got your Bibles with you. Over here, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to look down through the first 17 verses. Now, I want you to try to find a name in there that you recognize. There are a lot of names in there, but I want you to find one that you recognize. Over here, you go into the third chapter of the book of Luke, verses 23 through 38. 23 through 38. See if you can find a name in there that you recognize. Wait a minute, hold on to it. Just read down through those first 17 verses in Matthew and Luke 23 through 38. Greg, go ahead and put Matthew up and we'll talk about him first. 1:1. Matthew 1:1 through 17. Anybody notice anything unusual about our attendance board? You notice how many sevens we had last week? What does seven stand for? Perfection or completeness. In 10 days, what came into the world? Anything perfect come into the world? A perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ came into the world. What did he come to bring? Joy. Scripture says joy unspeakable and what? Full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Christ brought into the world. Anybody have any idea why I chose these two scriptures? Anybody know what these two scriptures are? The lineage of Christ. Okay, so we've got the lineage of Christ in Matthew. And we'll look at the lineage of Christ in Luke in just a moment. But what do you realize when you look at those two? They're not alike. They're different. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. First of all, let's see, who is Matthew? This is Matthew over here. So I'll dress this side for right now. Anybody know who Matthew was? He was a tax collector. Know what his surname was? Levi. His name was Levi. So here we have him writing. We have a tax collector writing a book in the Bible. Is that appropriate? Is it appropriate? Any tax collectors in here? I don't want to get too far into this before I recognize the audience. I've told you before, I spoke one Sunday on Zacchaeus, and after the service, this little short guy came up to me and he says, "I'm an IRS agent." I said, "I'm glad to have you." But anyway, what is it about a tax collector, especially in this particular day and time, that maybe these people over here don't really, what is it? They don't like you. This side over here does not like you because you collect taxes. And Matthew stood along the road and he would watch them as they came into town. And he would tax what they were carrying with them. Their goods that they were bringing in to sell or trade, he would tax them right there along the road, according to what history says. And nobody liked him. But what made the difference in Matthew as far as being a tax collector? What made the difference in you? You met Christ. He found the Lord.
He became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He saw what he did every day, day in and day out. So according to what we know here, this book was written about 60 A.D. 60 A.D. after Antion Dominion. What does that mean? In the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord. So here we have Matthew written by a tax collector. Stand up, Rob. Turn around, let everybody see you. I didn't recognize you this morning, so I wanted everybody else to see. It's my understanding, I've been going for a couple weeks, it's my understanding that Rob played for you and sang. Is that true? They're kind of wavering on that, Rob. And then the next week he was gone. And I thought he had a trip planned, but I didn't know you all had run him off for singing and playing. But we're glad he grew a beard and come back in so that he could be a part of us today. But tax collectors, people did not like. But Matthew's life was changed when he met Christ. And all of our lives should change when we meet Christ. We look through different eyes. We see things differently. But here he wrote about Christ. Now his genealogy is a little bit different than Luke's. Well, it's a good bit different when you start comparing them. But what names did you find in there that you knew? Okay, we've got David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judas. Some of them we never seen before, did we? Boaz. Rahab. What? Who said that?
We have an unfair advantage. We just did this in the adult class.
Today? Okay. I guess the Lord thinks we need this more than we did. But what was it about Rahab? How could Rahab be in the lineage of Christ? What was she? She was a harlot. But what changed in her life? She realized that God was in control, didn't she? And so she stopped things. Well, I'm just going to sit down and let whoever taught the class come up. Greg, did you teach this morning? Now, Greg got up here Wednesday night, and he taught on, anybody remember what he taught on? The wise men. And he said, I'm going to try to be real careful not to get on anybody's messages that they might be planning. So he went to chapter 2 of Matthew, and I thought, well, you just missed it, Greg. And then this morning, what's he do? And you wonder why the pastors never come to church. Now, did you compare them both, Greg?
No, no.
You just talked about Matthew?
Yes.
So you shortchanged him. He shortchanged you all this morning, so I'm going to finish his lesson. No, he didn't shortchange you, but there's a difference in Matthew and Luke. And in Matthew, we talked about there's a period of what? How many generations from Abraham to David? They did listen, Greg. And how many from David to where they were taken into captivity? And from when they were taken into captivity to when Christ was born? So what is 14? 2 times 7, isn't it? Stands right on top of it back there. 2 times 7. We had all these sevens. And then we have 14s here. And Matthew was a tax collector telling about the life of Christ. What also was he besides a tax collector? He was a disciple. And what else could you say would have been about him as far as the life of Christ goes? He was what? Eyewitness. Eyewitness. So here we have it. We have them all here together. And so anything else in this that you want to talk about? Those of you that were in class this morning. It all led to Christ. Nothing was perfect leading up to Christ. No one was perfect in that lineage leading up to Christ. But something made a difference. And I don't know whether you got into this, Greg, or not, but is there any reason for Matthew to write about the lineage of Joseph? Do you ever think about that? What would have given him the opportunity to just have not written anything about Christ? Were any of these men involved in the life of Christ? They were in the lineage. They were leading up to Christ. But what is the most important part when it comes to a birth? Who gives the blood? The Father does. And in this situation, God was the one who supplied the blood, wasn't he? So we have Joseph. Did Joseph play an important part in the life of Christ? He raised him. He raised him. He was not his father, but he raised him as his son, and he took care of him. So it's very important that we realize everything in God's word is important. Every person listed here is important. Even though we don't know who they are, they were in the lineage of Christ. And then, how many in here have ever done a study of the lineage of your own home? Y'all did that too? Okay. How many here have done a lineage? Where do you start when you do the lineage? You start from yourself and do what? Go back as far as you can get. Anybody in here ever find anything in your lineage that was a little bit disturbing? Cindy, what did you find? Avalanche. You know, we could always tell, but we just didn't know how to put it all together. And John can confirm that also up here from the lineage. So here we have lineages, and Josh traced our lineage back one time, and one of my distant relatives was the governor of Virginia, way back there. And somewhere along the line, they hung him because he wasn't a very good guy. But so I'm almost there with you on Devil Ants. But when we think of Christ, and you look back through his background, they started here, they started backwards, didn't they? They started from Abraham. How can you start a lineage going the other direction? It was promised Abraham that there would be a great seed come out of him. A great nation would come out of him. So they were able to go back and trace it Of course, Matthew, being a tax collector, what did he know? He knew all about these families, didn't he? Because he was going to get money out of them one way or the other one of these days. So it was traced, and he just went back to who? Abraham. Back to Abraham in Matthew, back to Abraham. Now, real quickly, let's turn to Luke, since you all have already studied Matthew once today. And you're sure you didn't do Luke? Didn't do Luke. All right. Now, let's look at this one. And look through the scriptures there and give me some names that you recognize. Simeon. Amos. Joseph. Jacob. Judas. Judah. How did we know that Christ would be born out of one of the tribes of Israel? Huh? Prophecy. Which tribe was that? Out of the tribe of Judah. Who was Judah's father? So you're getting going forward and backwards here. Sometimes you got to look at it. Jacob was the father. Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
Israel had how many sons? 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So Judah was from Jacob. Who was Jacob the son of? Isaac. Isaac was the son of?
Abraham.
Abraham. All right. Now, In the life of Luke, what do we know? We had a tax collector over here writing. Who do we have writing now Luke as? He was a doctor. He was a doctor. He was a physician. If you read the book of Luke, you'll get a lot of physician detail, of especially of the death of Christ. But these are the only two Gospels that talked about the birth of Christ. We often read the Christmas story out of the book of Luke. Sometimes we read part of it out of Matthew. Matthew described only one thing that's not in any of the other four Gospels. You got that Wednesday night. Okay, somebody tell me what it was besides John. I know John knows. What's the only thing recorded in Matthew that's not recorded about the Christmas story in the other Gospels? The wise men. The wise men. That's the only place you'll find it. Now, Greg mentioned something Wednesday night about a lot of times we see the wise men in what? In the nativity. How many in here have a nativity scene outside your house? Anybody? Do you have wise men in your nativity scene? I bet y'all went home and took it out, didn't it, when you heard Greg's lesson. Now, at our house, I think we've got 5 or 6 Christmas trees up now in the house. We gain one every year. But Susie and I were talking, and yesterday she said, I got to get my nativity scene up because this is what Christmas is all about. So she's out there in the rain carrying stuff and putting it up. And when darkness came, we drove down the road we noticed something was missing in the nativity scene. Anybody got an idea what might have been missing in our nativity scene? Baby Jesus. Now, as mankind is trying to do today, what are they trying to take out of Christmas? They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. If you go to our courthouse, what are they trying to take out? The commandments. Ten commandments. In schools, what have they taken out? Prayer. Everything in this world is trying to eliminate Christ. But I never realized that we almost did the same thing. We almost left Jesus out of the nativity scene. And the thing was, Jesus was there all the time. But we failed to plug him in. So his light wasn't burning. When Jesus went away, he said, "Ye are what? Light of the world." While he was here, he was the light. But when he went away, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Are we being a light for others about Christmas? Do you walk up to someone and say, "Happy holidays"? I can remember when I was a little boy, we would do Christmas cards for people. But my mom told me one thing. And she said this, "Don't you ever write Xmas." She said, "You've left out the most important thing." We left out the most important thing. That he was there all along. And he's there all the time. And you know what he's there to do? To bring joy to your life. He's the only one that can give you joy, true joy. And this world may say, "Well, you can do this and you'll feel a lot better about it. It'll." But no, only Christ can give you true joy. There's a little bit of difference if you begin in verse 23. First of all, we see, where did they start this lineage? They started with Jesus, didn't they? In Luke, they started with Jesus and worked their way back. You'll see a lot of different names there. And a lot of people wonder, what's the controversy between Matthew and Luke? There is none. There is none. There's some different names in there. But when it talks about Heli in the first verse, and Joseph, which was the son of Heli. But they had already told us that Joseph was the son of who? Jacob. Is that right, Greg? In Matthew, Joseph was the son of Jacob. So who do you think Heli might have been? His father-in-law. His father-in-law. So he would have been the father of who? Mary. Mary. So when you read down through this, you're getting the genealogy of Mary. And they didn't stop at Adam. Where did they go to with this genealogy? They went all the way to God. In the beginning, God. And God did what? He created man. And how did he create man? In his own image. And it goes on and says, which was the son of Enos. Who remembers Enos? Enoch. What happened to him? He never what? He didn't die. He was caught up to be with the Lord in the air. So this is the lineage it goes back to. And it talks about another one there. It talks about Methuselah. Anybody know anything about Methuselah? Everybody here that's over 70 years old, stand up if you can. No, I'm just kidding you. But when he's talking about Methuselah, who's he talking about? Oldest man ever to live. How many years? 969. That's a long time to live. He was in the lineage of Christ. And it goes right on through. Who was Seth? It mentions Seth. Adam and Eve's third son. What happened to Cain? What happened to Abel? Cain slew Abel out of jealousy. So Like you were saying, Pam, their sin goes all the way back, doesn't it? Goes all the way back to the garden. But why did Christ come in the first place? So that we could celebrate Christmas. So we could exchange gifts. So we could put up Christmas trees and nativity scenes and leave him out. Is that why Jesus came? He came to save us from our sins. And when we think about Christmas, we should be thinking about what Christ really came for. We should be thinking about what Christmas is truly all about. We should be thinking about his lineage here and where he came from. Said out of the tribe of Judah, through King David's lineage, he would be born. So this genealogy, we don't know for sure, but I can almost guarantee it. This was the lineage of Mary. Mary, did you know that your baby boy? Mary, did you know? So this was a, now, when we think about the birth of a child, we think of the mother and the father. Both are important. In Matthew, Joseph, as we know for sure, was not the father of Jesus. In Luke, we know for sure that Mary was the mother of Jesus. And the father being who? Go all the way back to the beginning of that lineage. God was there all the time. He was there through each generation. And he loved these people. He chose the children of Israel to be the ones that would be of his lineage when Christ came into the world. So Christ came to seek and to save those which are lost. If Christmas to you is all about getting a gift or giving a gift, you've missed it. You've missed it completely. But Christmas is about God's Son coming to this earth in the form of a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Luke describes this. You know there's a difference in Luke's perception of this than Matthew's. He wasn't there. Luke wasn't there. But he wrote by others telling him what took place. And he put a lot of detail in this. Luke was a great physician. He was a very good friend of Paul, the Apostle Paul. He traveled with him. He was with him when he was in prison. He was there in Rome next to where he was. But Luke got his information from others to tell us about the birth of Christ, about the life of Christ. The Gospels, how many? How many have the Christmas story? Two. Matthew and Luke. The four Gospels give us a view of what Jesus Christ's life. I suppose that's why we love to read them more than anything else, is because they're focusing on the life of Christ. What does gospel mean? Good news. Any of you ever watch the news in the evening? There's one that I like to watch, but I only like to watch the last segment of it. NBC, I believe it is, has a segment right at the end. And it's a segment that shows the good that's going on in the world. I mean, it's just a short segment. Maybe 2 minutes of that and 28 minutes of the bad news. But they show the good that can come from this world, of people giving and helping others. And I thought, that little segment that I get there on the end brings joy to my heart. Good news will bring joy to your heart. The Gospels are good news, and they're all about Christ. And we read it, and we get joy. Anytime your child does something good, what's it bring to your heart? Joy. It brings a feeling like none other. I would say last Sunday when Trent got up, Tiffany, were you here last week? Did it bring joy to see him do that or fear? Both. It would have brought fear to me if I got in that situation, but he stood and he brought joy to her heart. Who else's heart do you think he brought joy to? The Lord's. He was a willing servant, willing to do what was needed to be done. And that's what makes God's people a great people, when we step up and do what needs to be done. If you get a chance today, look through Luke. Look up, Cindy, who is it you're related to? Devil Ants. Read about Devil Ants, and you'll see why Cindy is the way she is. John, you might want to do some research on that too. But most of all, take time to read the Christmas story to your family. Take time to tell them what it's all about. It's good to give gifts. It's good to have the family over for a big meal. But if Christ isn't there, it's not a good thing. He needs to be with you all the time. So if you're here this morning and you want to get closer to the Lord, you want some true joy in your heart, maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this will be a great day to do it. Maybe you're blaming God for something and you've never stopped to realize He gave heaven's best for you. He gave heaven's best. So if you're here this morning, we invite you to come. There'll be someone here to pray with you if you want to come and surrender your life to Jesus. So any of you that are tax collectors, we know you need the Lord. Any of you physicians that may have done something wrong, you need the Lord too. But Jesus Christ is who you need today. If you'll come while we stand, while we sing.
Page 272, 272.
Time after time I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships I was done in.
Come back tonight. The young people will be singing, and Hunter's group will be here too. Hunter Pritt's group will be here. So come out and support our young people. Nothing further. Ron Christ, dismiss us in word of prayer.